Now, the highlight of our show is our studio guest this morning, and it's Claire Wiese, and author, writer, and she digs deep in research. Welcome to the studio, Claire.
Thank you very much indeed, Mary. I'm really, really delighted and excited to be back here.
Yeah,
this year.
It's fabulous. It's wonderful to see you're still at it. So tell us, because the first book you published was The Unraveling of the Yarn, a fabulous title, and that was all based on, well, what inspired you? Tell the listeners again.
Well, that was about Zoe Hart Dyke, who was born in Leighton at a house where I did actually live. She was born in 1896, and I and my family went there in 1970, and we spent 10 years there. I was interested in her history when I found out she was born there, because she created the only commercial silk farm in Britain in the mid-20th century. So I became interested in all things silk and mulberries from that point.
Yeah, and the amazing thing is, listeners, that Claire, she's like a dog with a bone. She won't let it go once she's got it. And now she's discovered another one. So tell us about the history of how you've come together with the second piece of research, and give us the title that you've given it.
My second piece of research is, it's Our Leighbridge Farm Heritage. Wow. A couple of years ago, I discovered that there was a Leighbridge farm, believe it or not, in Leighbridge Road in previous times. And I found this out through reading an archaeological survey that had been issued by developers who were building construction there.
What provoked you to read that survey?
Oh, because I'm interested in following what's being authorised to be built in our area.
Okay.
And putting my two pennies in there.
Absolutely,
if I can,
making it better. So, from that, what was the next step that you took in terms of getting funding for this research?
Well, it wasn't possible for an archaeological survey to be done on the Leighbridge farm there and then. So I thought, well, I'll wait until there's funding available. And what's happened is, as probably people know, we've got the Waltham Forest Borough of Culture funding this year. So I applied through the Leighbridge ward for the Making It Local little stash of funding. It's only a small grant for individuals.
Should be all local, but yes.
Yeah. And so I thought this would be absolutely right. And I'm pleased to say that the Leighbridge councillors were supportive and went ahead, and I've received the go-ahead to start the project. The Leighbridge Road, 2 centuries ago, was a turnpike.
No.
And a turnpike road was one that was funded by local businesses for them to send their carts and stagecoaches down to from Leighton down to the
road.
City. And so, you know, in the 1700s, stagecoaches were rattling down Leighbridge Road.
Wow.
And I'm really enthralled at the prospect of looking more into that.
It's such an exciting project, this. You need to, if only we had pictures of her on the radio, you'd see how energetic and how she becomes so enlivened when she starts chatting about this project. So let's tell us again exactly where you are in the project, Claire, and just reiterate what sparked you to do it, because you knew it was going to be a long haul. Because you didn't actually live in this that farm, although you lived in.
I was absolutely enthralled because I'd never heard reference to this Leighbridge farm before.
Yeah.
And I asked around. For instance, I asked a friend who used to know Katie Andrews, who's a very well-known environmentalist, naturalist, and local historian, who sadly died a few years ago. But I thought if anybody knew about Leighbridge Farm, she would have known it, but she didn't. So that, to me, indicated that there was really some history to be found. So I went to the Vestry House Museum archives.
Yeah, everybody's favourite place.
And saw Joe Parker there, and I delved through History of Leighton and various other documents and directories. But I also went to the Essex Record Office, because, of course, you as people will know, this area used to be in the County of Essex. So many of the original documents are in the care of the Essex Record Office. And I've spent two days there looking at original indentures and maps and all things that refer to the Leabridge farm, which is absolutely thrilling because you think, wow. You know, I'm a person who's looking and touching at these original documents that the people who were involved with the farm
they've left their mark on it.
Yes, yeah.
Wow.
So that's where I am. And I've gone back to medieval history at the times when the Lea itself was very wide. It was and the marsh, with its marsh, it extended for about a mile from west to east. And when it was in flood, there are people who say it did actually become a mile wide, although we can't substantiate that.
It's a nice story.
Yes. But of course it needed to be bridged. And for centuries there was no bridge. There was just a ford. And then there was a ferry, a Jeremy's ferry, funnily enough.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And it wasn't until the 1500s that they thought about building some sort of bridge across. And there have been three bridges across the Lea.
Wow.
But at that time, the farm that I'm looking into wasn't called Leabridge Farm then. It was called the Black Marsh Farm. And I think this is a piece of historical fact that I've found, and I don't know anyone else who's found that.
Oh, wow.
Although I'd be very happy if any listeners contact me and say they can point to a source where that's been pointed out. But the Black Marsh Farm was a farm on the marshes, when the marshes extended really almost as far east into old Low Late and as perhaps where the Hare and Hounds is now.
Oh, wow.
So everything was very marshy. So any bridges across the river also had to have structures taking the roadway across the marsh. And the first one of those was a causeway that was built in the 1500s. They didn't last very long. But then a turnpike was built, proper money put into that.
Yeah.
And that involved flint and gravel structure and so on. And a lot of maintenance. They had to have people putting the ballast back on the roadway every day because the carts were coming down, narrow-wheeled carts, full of all the produce from the Leighton nurseries. Leighton
right.
was a market garden with lots of plant nurseries and so on.
Oh,
and
wow.
all they wanted to trade with the city.
Yeah.
And so it became a very busy road.
It's just amazing, isn't it, to think a stagecoach is going down Leabridge
yes.
Road. I mean,
yeah.
it the mind boggles. When they set up the turnpike, how did that change things or manage things or improve things around the farm area?
Well, the idea of a turnpike was that the people who travelled on it, whether they're pedestrians with animals and flocks of sheep or whatever, or whether they're stagecoaches and horses and carts, they have to pay the toll. And the toll was divided up into different stages, hence stagecoach. And the mile post, the 4 mile post, is exactly at the spot where the Leabridge farm is. So my thesis, and I haven't proved this yet, but it's what I think happened, when the Black Marsh farm found itself with a turnpike next to it, the owners of the turnpike didn't want their stage to be called the Black Marsh stage, and they said, this is the Leabridge farm, we'll call it the Leabridge stage. So I think that's how the farm changed its name.
Right.
It's just an idea I've got.
Makes sense.
And that's what I'm exploring.
Sense, yeah.
So it also makes it very easy to trace on maps, because milestones, once they're put in on these turnpikes, they're there for another couple of hundred years. So I know exactly where the farm was and what happened to it.
Right. So where was the farm? Tell us, so that we've got Leabridge Road.
Yeah.
We've got the roundabout here,
mm-hmm.
and you've got what's down the other end, going towards Stratford. So where is it? Well, where was it?
If you're coming from the Hackney end of yes. Lee Bridge Road,
right.
So you go through Lower Clapton, you go over yep. the bridge, which is where the Princess Alice pub is.
Oh yeah, got
that's
it.
Where the actual Lee Bridge crosses, and then you've got to go past the ice centre and the riding school.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we've now got the new Lee Bridge station. And there's
a
bridge over the railway. Well, it's just after the Lee Bridge station at number 97 Lee Bridge Road. Now, that's what it is now. And where there are three new tower blocks and a quadrangle of flats around being built, and they're about to be occupied by new residents. And that's the actual site of the Lee Bridge farm.
Oh, and is there a plaque to commemorate that, or...?
Well, I'm hoping to design one, Mary.
Oh, excellent!
And that it really does need to have some tangible commemoration.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, that sounds great. You'll have to come and tell us again. We'll have her back on the show, dear listeners. She's a mine of information and interest. So come and tell us about that plaque. That sounds wonderful.
I certainly will.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing that I've discovered, you know, moving on from the Middle Ages, moving on from the 18th century turnpike, the 19th century, I just couldn't believe this coincidence, Mary. I found that the people who rented the farm from the 1820s through to about 1870 were silk dyers.
Oh, wow. Oh, this comes back to your first book.
It does.
Oh, wow.
And they had moved out of the East End once it was possible for silk work to be done outside of Spitalfields because of the change in laws. They moved up the Lee and they set up silk dyeing in the Lee Bridge farm and also in other houses along Lee Bridge Road. They were silk dyers operating there. They must have done very well because looking at their records, they employed cooks and nurses.
Upmarket silk.
And grooms. So they obviously had horses, which they must have used to pull carts to take the silk to and from the weaving, which probably still went on in the East End. So this is, as far as I know, nobody else knows about the mini Silk Road in Leighton, that we did actually have a small silk industry in the 19th century.
And what was the name of the road? Well, there probably wasn't that roads as such, but what was the area called?
It was called Lee Bridge, on the census, for instance, 1841, 1851, it was called Lee Road, but it was the main road. Later on it got called Lee Bridge Road.
Gosh, that's amazing. So in terms of where you are now with your wonderful project, have you found it easy sort of getting the archives and the history? Because it seems as if it's been invisible. How have you sort of opened that up? Where have you gone to actually find all the information?
Well, I think about things a lot. I spend a lot of time looking at documents and trying to imagine. This is why it's, you know, it's an imaginative and a creative project.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not just a scholarly kind of archaic thing.
Nothing dry about Claire here, listeners.
So I do like to look at original documents and then spend time thinking and imagining
about
it.
So where do you go for the original documents?
Well, as I said, the Essex Record Office and the Vestry House Museum, but also the internet. I can spend a long, long time searching on the internet for references in existing books and so on.
Yeah, but I mean, would you go to Somerset House to find out the history of the family of that farm? Or
well, actually, you can get that through the internet. So I subscribe to somewhere where I can look at the census records, for instance, and then I can find out their birth date and do a bit more research on that.
Yeah, of course, it's a lot of work. So in terms of your personal life, I mean, how much time do you on a daily basis, Claire, attend to this, or is it 24/7?
Well, usually it's at night because in the daytime I'm busy.
Oh, you're going, getting it all together,
I
Have you got a den?
I have indeed. I can spend hour upon hour if I let myself, but obviously, you know, I do blend it in with other activities that I do.
Yeah.
But once it gets my enthusiasm, I tend
it
to...
It takes over, yeah. So, Carl is, what is it, the absent... The absent wife or the absent... What is it called?
Carl keeps us together. He does all the cooking, all the shopping,
excellent.
And I don't have to do any of that.
Okay.
So I'm very lucky.
Yeah, you are blessed. But the work you give out, it obviously inspires him too.
Mm.
So in terms of where you're going to be actually putting it together, where do you see you're at now and where do you think you'll be, say, you know, in the coming months?
Well, the Borough of Culture funding requires me to... finish the project itself, as described, in December.
Oh, right. But
I don't see that as the final end by any means. There'll be a lot more work after that. But what I want to get towards is to a design for some kind of installation or artifact to go on this estate.
The development, absolutely.
And, so that people can understand and know about the Leabridge farm, the Black Marsh farm that was there before them. And so
are you arty-farty? Could you design it? Or how?
No, I'm not an artist in that sense at all. So I'll probably go out to... art students, schools maybe to help get some ideas.
And
about that.
They'll come with fresh new eyes, and if they're local, I mean, it's just icing on the cake, wouldn't it? Yeah. Oh, it's got to be recalled. You were talking about the silkworm. What a happy accident that is, although I don't believe there are such things as accidents. There's no doubt about it. I think in a previous life, this woman was a silk worker. So tell us about what inspired you about finding that connection.
Well, there's actually more history to silk in Leighton than I did know, and I was glad to read a book by David Boot, who's the chair of the Leighton and Leightonstone Historical Society. And it's about the Bosanquet family, who were a big business family in Leighton, and in the 1700s they were a big silk importing company. So there's that kind of aspect to it. And actually, Samuel Bosanquet, he was one of the business people who funded the Leabridge Turnpike. And he bought the manor of Low Hall, which is not so far away from Leabridge. So he would, you know, he's part of the picture, although there's no definite connection there. What interested more was the family lives of these silk dyers who came up from Shoreditch and the East End, the maps of the area show that there was a water feature, what's called a water feature, in other words, a big pond, put into the farm in the 1800s that hadn't been there before. I'm assuming that's what they would have used, you see, because silk dyeing is water intensive. They did make quite a good living from that, because the wife of James Reynolds, Jane Reynolds, when she was widowed, she was living on an annuity. Funnily enough, their son, who was a silk dyer in his youth for two of the censuses that I followed him, he then became an auctioneer. And I thought, this is Walthamstow history coming into it now, you know.
Yay, gosh, it goes on and on and on.
Yes.
So I'm sure there'll be people out there, and golden oldies and silver sounders too, that may have little pockets of history for you. How would they contact you, Claire?
Well, my email address is clairewees@hotmail.com.
And Wees is spelled Weiss at hotmail.com.
That's right.
And... you know, if you've lost it, just get in touch with eastlondonradio.org.uk and we'll pass on the information.
Okay.
So just to round it up now, Claire, you're hoping to get the first main stage finished by December. That's part of the condition of the grant.
Yeah.
And listen, dear listeners, she had a grant fund of £500. I mean, God, that's a month's shopping, isn't it? And mind about a year's research. Labours of love here, dear listeners. So going forward, when you've done that, are you talking about a documentary, or you got the history on their curriculum. I mean, we need to hear this stuff.
I think they're really good ideas for taking it forward.
Yes.
During the project, it will go on to the internet, what I'm researching. Right. It won't be a hard copy document to start with,
okay,
or a book. But, of course, using East London Radio to get to a wider audience,
yes,
is a really important thing for me.
Yeah.
I'll... Then the design of the installation is all part of the project, but
yeah,
it's only a design.
Yeah.
For £500, you can't really get much.
Yeah, but your lifeblood's going into this,
yes,
work, Claire. I can see and feel it. It just sounds fun. Well, I'd like to say I wish you success, but I know you'll have success because you're so committed and so impassioned by it. And I just want to say thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you very much indeed for the opportunity.
Wonderful.
I've really enjoyed it.
Watch out for this woman, Claire Wees. Her first production was Unravelling the Yarn, and it's a really wonderful book to read. Full of information, full of inspiration about the history in this area. And guess what, listeners? Claire and her husband actually lived in the house where this Zoe Hart Dyke, knee bond, meeting the Queen, and God, all this periphery. Thanks so much.